session number 18668, Reel 3.
Eric Peters, Reel 3.
There was an American bath unit came up, or shower, you know, I should say, more than bath, and that was the only hot shower we had all the time we was in Korea. The only time we'd ever had a wash before was in the rivers and things like that, you know, where when we first went in there, we didn't bother shaving because I think they wanted the toughness up, and then when the weather got bitter and things like that, then they expected to shave every day.
Did you suffer very much from the lack of bathing?
Oh, yes. Oh, I took my socks off. I must have had them on for about 3 weeks. And there was lice and all sorts in my socks. What I was wearing them, like. But you couldn't afford to take your socks off. Well, you wouldn't allow to take your boots off or anything. Depending if you're on the advance or this time, we're on a massive retreat. Anyway, we finally ended up, a place called Wee John Bow, below the 38th parallel. Must have been November then. No, but after that.
Don't worry, that type of thing is on record anyway.
Yeah, I think we spent Christmas. Although we had Thanksgiving, big Thanksgiving dinner at one of the places, at the Yang Street as well. I know that we had our old cooks, but all the provisions were provided by the Yanks, turkeys and your cranberry sauce. I mean, that's the first time I'd ever heard of cranberry sauce myself then. I mean, I do have it now, but in them days, never even heard of it. Yeah, it was at Wee John Bow, and we was always on the hills, and the Yanks was down below. And I sent a couple of the lads down. I said, go down to the Yanks and see if you can scrounge, you know, some flour and lard and what have you. So perhaps we can make some rock buns or flapjacks or anything to vary the rations. And they went down and seen the Yanks, and the first thing the Yanks said, yeah, sure, guys, where's your truck? Did they give him a truckload full? Well, all he could do was just get the ration, haversacks full, because they had to climb up the hills, like 7 pound tins of peanut butter and things like that, you know. The story about that was our company platoon commander, Mike Cawthorne, he was a mountain of a man, and where we had one blanket, he'd carry two. But he carried himself, and he'd carry a 7 pound tin of peanut butter with him as well, the same fella. He got killed later. I'll tell you about him later on. He's a massive man, lovely fella. Then we at Christmas come. We've had a lot of battles in between and lost lads. Christmas time. We was back out of in reserve, you know, we wasn't always in the front. When we was on the advance, the brigadier used to always put the Argyles, then the Middlesex, then the Aussies, alternative, and you pass through them. And we say we were very, very lucky. But every time the Aussies was in the vanguard, like, they always met every opposition. Always, you know.
They always what?
Met every opposition. They was unlucky. That's why Bigger Cord was reported to have said he likes the Argyles in front because we don't have many casualties. We were lucky. Yeah. We lost Colonel Green there as well. He was the CO of the Australian 3rd Regiment. He was killed by a shell. A Major Reith. He was a brigade major. He lost him around about that time. He was in a jeep and the jeep slid off the road. Well, there's no roads. There's only dirt tracks. I think there was only one road, and that was in Seoul, the tarmac road. In all of Korea, I think. If there were any more, I didn't see any. We were mostly on the hills rather than on the roads. But as I said, there's much dirt tracks. And then comes Christmas time, we had a nice, if you call that Christmas, and New Year Day, we was rushed to the front again. I can't remember where we went to. Kaesong, things like that. Terrible trying to remember the name of the places. And then, but we did start the advance again then, round about then, heading north again, the different sector. And the hills was bigger as well. And that's where, on one of these, we met, lost, I might be jumping now, but we lost Mike Cawthorn, our platoon commander, on the 4th of April, lost him. Now, here again, he shouldn't have got killed, but he was such a man, he was big, strong, and he was leading the platoon up this hill, which he shouldn't have been. I mean, we're supposed to be leading, but he's supposed to be in the middle. But he was always in front, rallying us, come on, lads, come on. And we were just on the crest of the top of the hill, and we come under fire. And I think the first bullet, right through my Cawthorn's
temple.
Yeah, it's terrible. And you know, because it was a mountain of a man, and I was right behind him. Whether I was one of the fittest at that time, well, I was pretty fit because I'd long come back from a PT instructor's course, and you don't lose it all of a sudden, like. But I was fitter than most of the lads. Because down we go, like. Report back to Sergeant Coleman, who then took over the officers. I took over platoon sergeant then, acting platoon sergeant. I never had a stripe. And the Yanks, they fight the war the right way then to me. Like, we for a bayonet charge in, if possible. But it turned out it was the hill, and then a little dip, and then another hill behind it, which when you're climbing up, you can't see this. And that's where they was entrenched in that one. So they called upon artillery fire, the big guns, to shell it, which they did. And I was thinking then, oh, I hope no shells land near Mike. Now, I know he's dead, but it was dusk, so we couldn't do anything. But after they shelled the place, but then we put it in as attack next morning, past Mike's body, wasn't touched, just the one bullet wound in the forehead. And they'd gone. They'd go down and get in the next hill. And a couple of, and that's what they were doing. It was bitterly cold, and snow was still on all the mountains. And a couple, or a section, could all up a company, fire a few rounds, kill somebody, and then you don't know they've gone. And the time you've gone down and climbed up that hill, they've gone and moved on to the next hill. That's when a big company had a bit of trouble then. They landed in a little bit of a minefield. They had a few casualties. I think they had a fella called Milner. He'd only just joined us from the, I think it was the Norfolk Regiment, and then he got killed. But they were the last casualties we received in Korea. It's documented exactly how many they'd lost, like, you know. They are girls, but I can't remember offhand. And then we were going back to Hong Kong. April, the 25th of April, something like that, 24th, so I'd run about that time. And the night before we were supposed to go, we were called back up again to the hills. Trouble, they'd put an attack in, the North Koreans. But we were relieved next day and on our way, and then it's supposed to have been changed again. We'd have to go back. But the KOSBs was relieving us, and they was halfway up to the front, and they reckon there wouldn't be enough transport for us and them, and also not enough of all specialist equipment. So the order was given, the KOSBs relieve you, you go to Hong Kong. So we travelled to Seoul. That was the only tarmac road I saw. To Incheon, and got on a American boat, USS Montrose.
How did you feel about leaving Korea?
Oh, delighted. Not so much. I think the cold is more so than anything. You expect casualties in war, but although in the height of the real cold weather, you know, for say about 1 month, there was no activity from either side. I think it was too cold for anybody to go out, if possible, like, you know. I missed incidents like I met a crossing of a river about 150 yards wide, this river, big wide river, I can't remember what it was, absolutely frozen solid, and we to go and told to work across, and there's a little village the other side of there, like, don't have to go into it, just go round and see if there's any activity at all, like, okay, these eight of us, section, and we went, moonlight, across the river, went round this village, up a fairly sized hill, like, not flat, nothing there, and was on our way back, and was well down, about halfway down the hill, and you see the reflections along the side of the river, but eight people walking along, you know, what the heck are they, down lads, you know, and then turned up the little path that we'd already come up. So, all right, so I said, spread out, lads. Now, I said, no, don't do anything. I'll ask, follow me. And when they come up, let them get within 5 or 6 yards. Halt. Who is it? And it was only another blinking section from our battalion. Oh, I hit the bloody roof. I played Elvin Mike Cawthon about that. And he agreed with me, like, and he went and seen the major. I mean, we was told we was the only patrol out that night, in that area anyway. So it's stupid, isn't it? Sending lots of lads in the same area. We could have killed one another. Although we had a better chance because they was illuminated against the river. That's a few one night we was sent out, myself and two more, to cover a track. And we all hell broke loose on top of the hill, like, which we'd left. That's where our company was, and we was guarding this track down the bottom. And we stayed there all night because we couldn't be relieved. Well, nobody came down to relieve. Excuse me, nobody came down to relieve us. So we stayed there all night. Three of us, like, back to back around a tree. Don't know. I say nothing happened. Like, and it was just one of those things. A couple of Koreans lost a couple of lads. They'd get inside our perimeter. We lost a couple of lads. Killed quite a few of those as well. Like, it was only I knew about that next morning when we went back, made our way back up there in the morning time.
How did they get inside your perimeter?
Don't know. Well, one of the worst things about Korea, and I don't suppose it's anybody's fault, one thing I hated was arriving into a position at dusk, or just turned nearly dark. You haven't a clue what your terrain is in front of you. I mean, that's why, as I said, other times, when we took, before IL-282, it was late when we took that, and that's why B and C companies had to wait till next morning to put their assault in, like, because it was too dark in there. You can't attack at night time if you haven't been there before. You don't know what little gullies or anything. You know, anybody could be hiding in these. Yeah. So one thing I hated was arriving at a place in half light. You know, you can march all day and then arrive at a place in half light, and you had no clue what's in front of you or all around you. And I think that's how they must have got in that day. And you can't cover the whole area, you know. Obviously, leave yourself wide open to little inlets.
What did you mean when you say the Americans had the right idea of attacking or clearing a hill?
They saturate it before they put any troops in to attack it. Money was no object. I think the British, I would try it with a rifle and bayonet first, you know, but the Yanks wouldn't even try that. And the Yanks said, for a fact, I know this for a fact, Yanks had relieved us, you know, just relieving one another all the time. And the Yanks had said, like, gee, guy, how are you going to get a jeep up there? No picking jeeps. Shanks's pony.
What did you think of the American Army from what you saw them?
I think they did everything well. Happy-go-lucky kind of business. You know, there's no silence about them. You know, you knew what the Yanks was about, you know, at night time. You know, the noise they'd make, or light fires or things like that, you know, which we were never allowed, like, unless... it was around Christmas time, cold weather, really cold, excuse me, and we were dug in into trenches on the reverse side of the hill, like, and Colonel Leeson did allow us to light fires in the slit trenches in a recess, which, I mean, the enemy could never see them, like, you know, but you could see the Yanks fires, like, you know, they couldn't care less, you know. I think they lost a lot of troops by that, you know, the Yanks. It was cold. Everybody slept, you know, rather than having sentries about. I'm sure they did. They lost a few that way, not having sentries posted and everybody getting their... It was cold, no doubt about it. Bitter.
What was the plight of the Korean people themselves during the Korean War?
We had Korean porters, tough little buggers, there's no doubt about that. And once we'd taken any hill, then it was time, the Korean porters just come up with extra blankets and things like that. Very, very, not very often that they didn't make it. They did make it a couple of times. One night, we'd got this hill, and it was cold, and we knew there was sentries out, and they used to wrap a blanket around it. We couldn't dig in. It was, you know, absolutely rock solid, the ground, like. But she used to wrap a blanket around you, standing up, and collapse, like, in some little gully where you get a bit of shelter from the wind. And I remember this time, they'd just done that, they'd just, snug as a bug in a rug kind of business, and a platoon section runner come, said, Mike wants you. So, bloody hell. Roll over. You have to try and roll once you've wrapped it round. You know, you can imagine wrapping a blanket round, you're flopping, and you can't get out of it so very easy. But there's no enemy activity, like, so you have to flop down somewhere and keep warm. I've got up and went to see Mike, and he told me there's no extra blankets coming up that night. I said, yeah, and I really did swear, you know. I said, jeez, bloody hell, you know, you've got me out of my bed to tell me that. I said, well, could you tell the section runner? He could have told me that. Well, and I said, I might as well bloody well sit here all night or something stupid like that, no? And he swore back at me, you know. But anyway, and they went. But he came round next morning, and he apologised to me for swearing. And I said, hey, Mike, you know, I said, I should be apologising to you. I said, don't. It was me that was at fault, not you. Everybody loved him, especially fella.
What rank did he have?
Only lieutenant. His father was had been a major general attached to the Pakistan Army, the same fella. Mountain of a man.
But did you see anything of Korean refugees?
They were treated with... We didn't want them. Even like when crossing bridges... it was just, you could go over them in single file. Of course, they wanted to go over them as well, like, and they was chased, get out of it, like that. The troops get over. That's what they're for, the troops, not for you, like, you know. Yeah, they were treated as garbage, I'm afraid to say, like, really. We didn't come in much contact with them. But a lot of them was killed. Well, they lost a couple of million something in the war, and a lot of them was killed at, but what they made of the country today, good heavens, I haven't the option to go back from there now, and I can't remember as it was. Really terrible, anybody fighting for that place.
But did the troops ever do anything for Korean refugees, like children or anything?
We didn't. No, well, we didn't, we've never stationed in any towns, ever. We was always in the hills all the time we was there. We never stayed in a town.
So you were telling me about leaving Korea in the Montrose. Can you tell me about that, please?
Well, that's where that's where we had our first T-bone steaks and ice cream and you name it, you could have it off the Yanks. And as we're sailing along, the whistle would go, knock off, coffee time. And let's talk about the British like in a cup of tea. They'd knock off by the bell, knock off, coffee time. For your donuts and your cakes and, they know how to look after the men. I don't say they make them fighting men, but they certainly make them well fed. Yeah. Of course, there's nowhere, don't have any liquor on the American boats.
So you were going to Hong Kong, were you?
But I went back to Hong Kong then.
How do you feel now about having served in the Korean War?
I just put it down, it was an experience. You try to remember the good parts more than the bad. Well, I think I'll do that about my life in general. It's hard to think back of any really bad times, not counting Korea, you know. You remember the good times, also the happy times, like.